Hi, everyone. Firstly, my apologies that this episode is coming out a little later than normal. Some of you may have seen that I recently had to put my dog to sleep after a rapid battle with cancer. In addition, Lane was preparing to visit a family member on an international trip, and I've experienced a lot of major life changes this month, including a big move. So all of that put me way behind on new World Witchery work and planning. We do have an episode here, and we hope that you like it, but I apologize again that it got a bit delayed. Okay, on with the show. Hello, and welcome to New World Witchery's Folk Magician's Notebook for September of 2023. These are short monthly episodes that will offer a brief overview of folk magical topics and information that might be useful to you over the coming month. As always, we highly recommend that you pick up a copy of a reputable and reliable almanac for folk magic, such as the Witch's Almanac, Llewellyn's Witch's Datebook, or your local Farmer's Almanac. Almanac. Let's take a look at the moon for September 2023. The new moon this month will be on September 14th in the sign of Virgo. The September full moon is on the 29th on Michaelmas, and is our equinox harvest moon. It will also be in the sign of Aries when it turns full. Some notable astrological dates. This month begins with a waning moon passing through the signs of Aries, Taurus, and Gemini. While you can do some soil enrichment during this period, the best thing for your garden is clearing away overgrowth and weeds. You should also be careful about the things that you say as the moon enters its last quarter in Gemini on the 5th, while Mercury is also in retrograde, meaning that communication problems abound. The moon continues to wane through the 13th in Cancer and Leo, which means that spells to protect the home or body should focus on banishing or removing harmful influences. The moon becomes new in Virgo on the 14th, meaning it's an excellent time to do some magical planning. Write your upcoming harvest rituals, design fall fest games, draft out a list of spells and petitions you might want to do over the next month or two. It's also a great time to start magical organization projects like getting rid of expired herbs and ingredients and rearranging or cleaning your altars or spellcrafting spaces. The moon grows as Mercury goes direct on the 15th, meaning communication will flow more freely overall, and then passes into Libra and Scorpio as it waxes. It's a good time to connect with friends and lovers, but also a good time to prepare the ground for any winter plantings that you're doing or start putting your mums out. Hold off on the pumpkins, though, as they may rot before you get a chance to carve them. The moon goes first quarter in Sagittarius on the 22nd, with the sun entering Libra on the 23rd for the equinox. This is a balance time, but also a time to think about how you can balance duties with pleasures. Make sure you are setting aside time to enjoy yourself and not just trying to fit the fun in between the work. The moon grows in Aquarius, Pisces, and finally turns full on Michaelmas on the 29th in Aries. This is a great time for candle work, fire magic, and anything involving counter curses and aggressive magical work. Finally, the moon leaves Aries on the 30th and transitions to Taurus as it begins to wane, giving you a moment to stop and refuel before you go into October and full-bore spooky season. Now we'll take a look at cards, divination, and proverbs for the month. Each month, Lane and I will pull a card for one another, one playing card and one tarot or oracle card. We'll indicate the meanings of those cards in general and then read them for the other person specifically as a way to get a sense of how they're read in actual practice.
For Corey's card reading, I asked, what should Corey focus on for the month of September? And was given the answer of the Ace of Hearts. The Ace of Hearts is usually an indicator of a new love, a new relationship, or even a feeling of loneliness, depending on the context of other cards around it and the querent. In most circumstances, I would say that this is probably a straightforward reading and to expect a new relationship, romantic or platonic. But for Corey's specific case, I read it differently. To me, the card says that Corey needs to focus on himself. I read the card as suggesting that this new relationship will be with himself, especially as life gets hectic with the holidays and everything in the last quarter of the year. We all need times of introspection and getting reacquainted with ourselves.
For Lane this month, I pulled the Tower. This is one of those cards that always sets my teeth on edge because it represents a lot of hard work and effort suddenly being upended. We see on the Rider-Waite-Smith version of the card a pair of people falling from a lightning-struck tower, representative of the Tower of Babel, and the chaos that leads to destruction is apparent. However, despite how much I dislike this card, it also precedes my favorite card, the Star, which represents the serenity that follows disorder and destruction when new possibilities begin to form. The Tower is a reminder that we can't control everything. And for Lane, I'd say this card is asking her to be willing to come apart a bit and to release control. Embrace chaos for a little while, and even more, embrace discomfort, embarrassment, frustration, and stress. It's the card of yes anding until you find yourself in uncharted territory. At that point, you may feel lost, but the possibilities for what comes next will be endless. These changes will lead to something better, even if they push you far out of your comfort zone for now. Our folk divination method for the month, I Ching Divination. I Ching Divination is based on a series of hexagrams found in the classical Chinese metaphysical text, the I Ching, or Book of Changes. The hexagrams are groups of six lines that are either solid, representing the yang energy of the world, or broken with a gap in them, representing the yin energy. This dualistic view is augmented by the fact that the two types of lines are combined into 64 different arrangements known as hexagrams, which are sets of six lines, made by pairing trigrams, or groups of three lines. Now, in order to truly understand I Ching divination, it's best to get a copy of the text and get guidance from someone who really understands Taoist philosophy. I highly recommend finding Benabel Wen's book, I Ching, The Oracle, which thoroughly explains the system and provides extensive guidance for someone using it. She also has some excellent video overviews for this system for anyone from beginners to experienced practitioners, which we'll link in our show notes. I Ching divination was traditionally done by shaking dried yarrow stalks out of a container and then looking at the arrangements they made, then relating those arrangements back to the hexagrams and reading the corresponding passage from the oracle book, the I Ching. However, a folk method of doing this divination involves using three coins instead. This method dates back to nearly 1800 years ago, but has remained popular in both China and in places where Chinese expatriates settled. To do a reading, you would hold the coins in your hand and contemplate your question, then throw the coins on the ground. The arrangement of the coins would give you a trigram. If the coin is heads, a solid yang line would be drawn, while tails gives a broken yin line. So if your coins were roughly top to bottom, heads, heads, tails, you would draw a trigram that was yang, solid, yang, solid, yin, broken. This would be the top portion of your hexagram. You would then toss the coins again to get the bottom part of the hexagram. If you got heads, tails, heads, your trigram would be top to bottom, yang, solid, yin, broken, yang, solid. When the full six lines are arranged top to bottom, then you have yang, solid, yin, broken, yang, solid, yin, broken, and yang, solid. This design would then be matched to the I Ching's hexagrams, and it would be hexagram 37, Jia Ren, or the family. This would be an indication that the answer to the question lies within the family dynamic, or that the querent should focus on domestic issues and get their house in order before attempting anything else. You can find many versions of the I Ching online, including a fairly good basic translation through the Sacred Texts website, and practice this a bit for yourself if you like. Again, we highly recommend looking at Benabel Wen's resources if you wish to explore this with any further depth, or, ideally, to consult with a Taoist practitioner or diviner if you want to learn more. Our Witch's Proverb of the Month. In the midst of chaos, there is also opportunity. A quote from Sun Tzu. Our folktale of the month, The Fox and the Crow. A fable by Aesop. A crow was sitting on a branch of a tree with a piece of cheese in her beak, when a fox observed her and set his wits to work to discover some way of getting the cheese. Coming and standing under the tree, he looked up and said, "What a noble bird I see above me! Her beauty is without equal. The hue of her plumage is exquisite. Why, if only her voice is as sweet as her looks are fair, she ought without doubt to be queen of the birds." The crow was hugely flattered by this, and just to show the fox that she could sing, she gave out a loud caw. Down came the cheese, of course, and the fox, snatching it up, said, "You have a good voice, madam, I see. What you want is wits." Is it fair in this story to criticize the crow? This folktale has been widely told since at least the days of ancient Greece, and it appears in a number of cultures ranging from China and the Philippines to India and France. Always, it seems like we take for granted the cunning nature of the fox and blame the crow for being flattered and falling for trickery. But we all like to hear good things about ourselves, don't we? And the fox gets his cheese, and he leaves with smirking disdain for the bird, but hear me out. This is a story not about the inherent nature of foxes and crows or even thieves and their victims. Instead, this is a story about the power of words. What the fox says is true. The crow is beautiful, shining, and iridescent in the sun. He knows how to turn a phrase and get what he wants. And while the crow is out a piece of cheese, she also gets a little bit of what she wants. Compliments and confidence. Were it not for the fox's final cutting remark, this could easily be a tale with a happy ending for all involved. Words can do so much. They can hurt and help, of course. Manipulate and convince and thunder and whisper. When we work magic, we are often working with words. Petition papers, prayers, incantations, etc. Sometimes we want those words to be precise repetitions of ancient formula, and sometimes we want them to be unfiltered and from the heart. But learning to use our words well, to be impeccable with them so that they carry the weight of truth, or cunning with them so that they can slide and slip past barriers, or forceful with them so that our intentions are mightily clear. Using words well is its own form of magic. Maybe just don't end your spells with a passing insult to those who have just granted you your favor. It makes you look like a real jerk there, Mr. Fox. We'll finish up our notebook entry with a little charm or craft each month to add a practical element to your work. This time, a chili pepper garland, or a ristra. We've reached the time of year when you may be drawing herbs and flowers for the coming months, but many people are also finding themselves with an abundance of chili peppers in their gardens. If that's you, you can make a little strand of chili peppers to hang in your home, which will both allow you to have dried chilies for cooking for the rest of the year, and also act as a ward against evil spirits when hung in your doorways or in the kitchen. The simplest way to do this is to gather your chili peppers and get a sewing needle and a piece of thread twice as long as you want your garland, traditionally known as a ristra in Mesoamerican spaces. Thread the needle and double the string, then double knot the end of the thread. Pierce the first chili just below its cap, and then carefully slide the thread through until the knot catches on the surface of the chili pepper. Tie a small knot above the chili pepper in the string, then thread the next chili and repeat. Continue doing this until you have the strand you want, and try rotating or alternating the directions the chili faces to make it look more pleasing too. You may also want to wear gloves while doing this, as the Chiles capsaicin can be irritating to the skin, and especially to the eyes and mucous membranes. Do not touch your nose, mouth, or eyes while doing this, and make sure to wash your hands thoroughly when you're done. Make sure you leave a few extra inches at the top of the strand so you can knot it and use the loop to hang the strand in your kitchen. Don't let it be in direct sunlight, which will result in overly dark or gross-looking chilies. And over time, these will dry out and you can pull them off and use them in cooking like any dried spice. And keep them nearby to thwart any roaming wicked imps that might dare to trespass in your cooking space, too. That's it for this entry into your New World Witchery Folk Magician's Notebook. Thank you so much for joining us this month, and again, we apologize for the lateness of this one. We hope that we'll be back on schedule for next month, and hope that we're going to be able to have at least one or two episodes out for you this month as well. So thank you so much for your patience on that, and we're really looking forward to bringing you more episodes, both of the Folk Magician's Notebook and of New World Witchery in the future. If you'd like to reach us about this or any other episode, you can do that by contacting us through email at compassandkey@gmail.com or by contacting newworldwitcherypodcast@gmail.com. Both of those will reach us. If you want to find out more about us, our social media, our goings-on, what's happening in our lives, you can visit our website's Find Us page, which is newworldwitchery.com/find-us. That also lists all of the social media that we're on currently. And if you want to find several hundred articles of folk magic plus all of our podcasts, you can do that by going to our website, newworldwitchery.com. We hope that you've enjoyed this month's entry. If you liked it enough that you feel like, hey, I'd like to give a little something back, we certainly would love that. If you want to visit us at patreon.com/newworldwitchery, you can toss a dollar a month into the hat or whatever you can afford, and that does help us do a ton of stuff, and you get some fun little perks along the way, too. So, thank you again so much for listening. We hope that this month turns out fantastically for you and for us, frankly. We hope that we'll see you again very soon here on New World Witchery. Until then, thanks for listening, and be well.